Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. With me today, as always, is my partner in crime, my right hand, Eric Howdige. Please, how are you?
I am doing great. I am excited for today's show. We have an exciting guest. Excited to get right into it, Corey.
Well, who do we have, Eric? Why don't you introduce him?
We have Brent Smith from Love's Reflection and from Smith Chevrolet. I cannot wait for you to hear the information that is going to be released today, just so that you can get some insight on leadership, so you can get some insight on the story. Corey, again, super excited.
Yeah. Brent, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you guys both for having me. It's good to see you and looking forward to sharing what we're doing right now.
Yeah, it's awesome. So before we get started in this podcast, which is going to be titled Giving That Reflects Love, tell our audience a little bit about you, Brent, your family, how you started in the car business, and what are you doing today?
Okay, well, a little bit about the family. I'm a third generation in the car business, and we're in the RV and tractor business as well. Live in Galleon, Ohio, born in Clearwater, Florida. Went to Northwood University, which was an automotive college where I got to major in, double major in automotive marketing and business management. And, you know, that's pretty much the short version of my story. And obviously, I've just started Love's Reflection, and it officially got approved by the IRS a few weeks ago, and already got our first big partnership. And there's just a lot of great things happening, not only at work, but I think even more importantly right now with the nonprofit, and really happy to be able to tell you guys about it.
Well, let's get right into it. It's a great story. I mean, Craig Smith Chevrolet, you got the tractor store too. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of big things happening with you guys. So, Brent, for our listeners who may be hearing about Love's Reflection for the first time, what is the mission of the nonprofit and who do you serve?
So our mission's pretty simple. We aim to help people in their greatest time of need, to lend a hand to people that need it the most. So essentially, I see this being much larger than what it is today and having other sections of this nonprofit. But for now, we're focusing on helping kids that are in palliative care. And for people who don't know what that is, that typically means they have a terminal illness, so they're on limited time. And on the flip side of that, we're going to be granting wishes for seniors in hospice, sort of like what you've heard about for people that want to knock off a bucket list item.
Yeah, that's right.
So we like to help people that don't have much time left and be able to show them compassion, dignity, and grace at the end.
Love that.
Wow. I mean, as he's saying it, I am just getting goosebumps and my heart is filled with love, exactly what it is. Brent, what personal moment or experience led you to start Love's Reflection?
Started 3 years ago. I've had this in my mind for a while, but I've been a hospice volunteer for 3 years and it changed my life in more ways than five. We'll say that. I mean, I look back on, you know, what it's done for me, what it's done for the people that I've helped. And it all boils down to, you know, 3 years ago, I decided that because of having a near-death experience as a child and being able to get a good feeling of what the other side was like for a few moments, it essentially took all the fear away from myself passing. I was actually very upset to even come back. And because of that, I've been able to help take the fear away from people that are facing their final moments and be able to give them peace and comfort and share my story and help their families. And essentially, when I got to the point where I had done it probably 7 or 8 times, I thought, you know what, there's got to be a way that I can help people full time. But I had no idea that it was going to lead into a nonprofit. That idea actually came up at the end of last year, and I put it into motion in April, and now it's technically official, but I've been working on it since April, and just really, really satisfied with the progress that I've been able to make with it. But walking people back home at the end of their life is the exact reason why I decided to start a nonprofit.
I really love the story behind it. And, you know, add on top of all the other responsibilities that you have, right? You're a son, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a dealer principal, right? Why was it important to you that this nonprofit focus on reflection, love, human connection, rather than just services and resources?
You know, I feel like I've had a calling from God that this is why I'm on earth today. I mean, yes, the business is great, and that's obviously a big part of what I do, but this is what I'm truly passionate about, and you know, my desire is to be able to get to the point where when I no longer have to have a full-time job, that I run this organization on a full-time basis and just help as many people as possible. My dream is to help people globally.
Wow, that's, you know, when I hear those words, it's, I say, you know, there's leadership, but then there's the human side of it. And that's exactly what I'm hearing. I'm so taken in by everything you're doing. Can you share a story of someone whose life has been impacted by Love's Reflection that really captures what this organization is about?
Yep. One of my favorites is one we did a couple months ago when it was still warm. It was in the fall, and a friend of mine in a hospice organization I volunteer at, I volunteer at two different companies, she gave me a call and she said, "Hey, I've got a guy I think you might be able to help. He doesn't have much time left. He hasn't been outside in 3 months. Mentally, he's an 8-year-old now, but the guy loves cars. He's been a lifetime car lover. Do you have any ideas? Like maybe we do a basket with some toy cars or something." And I go, "Do you think the family would be all right if I picked him up in a convertible and took him for one last ride?" And she goes, "God, I don't know. They'd have to sign off on it." And I said, "Well, I'd really like to do that if you can make it happen." So she made some calls and the family agreed to it. So I pulled up in a convertible and he was outside in his wheelchair with his family. Beautiful day. And we got him loaded up and the guy was smiling ear to ear. So we took about a 15-minute drive through the country. It was just a beautiful day. Very, very sunny. You know, the guy was cheesing ear to ear, as I like to say. And you know, not only did it impact him and his family, but it gave me, you know, like more fuel, more motivation. Every time I help somebody, it's like I get a larger desire to keep doing more. It's like jet fuel to me. I can't really explain it any other way. Every time I complete something like that, I need to do more and more of it. And that's why I feel like this is going to really be a big organization at some point once the word gets out there. Anyways, we took that ride, and he was extremely happy. We talked with the family for a little while. They sent me a thank you card that meant the world to me, and they basically said he passed away, but we hadn't seen him smile in months, and you provided that, and we can't thank you enough. So, you know, stuff like that to me is worth more than $10 million. I mean, it's just, there's no amount of money that can make you feel that type of way, but helping somebody that costs you nothing, that's where the real fulfillment comes in.
I love that. What a great story. And I can see the passion behind when you talk about this. I do have a follow-up question for that. What kind of music were you playing while you were driving?
Oh my gosh, That's a good question. I think I had some Bob Seger on. You can't go wrong with Bob Seger.
No, you can't.
I saw the man in concert, and he's just a legend. I wish he'd come back on tour, but it doesn't look good.
That's great. Yeah. What are the most common challenges the people you serve are facing, and how does Love's Reflection meet them where they are emotionally?
The challenges they're facing?
Yeah.
Well, their biggest challenges are they're facing limited time. You know, the people in hospice, and that's something that people, I know that's another question you had, where people get confused or it's a misconception. The words palliative care and hospice, when people hear that, they typically think, well, that person, you know, is going to die immediately. And a lot of times those people are in comfort care and they have more time left. So, you know, that's a common misconception around those two words. But as far as their challenges, I mean, you know, everyone is facing something different, but the thing they have in common is they have limited time. So we come in and we say, all right, what can we do? We'll get with the family and figure out what we can do for that person in hospice. We know, what do they love? What are they passionate about? Same with the children. And then how can we grant this wish or fulfill that dream that they've always had that they've never been able to complete in a fast manner? And if you look at my logo, there's like action marks in front of each word, because we're all about love and action. I say this all the time, that the world needs more than thoughts and prayers. It needs love and action. It needs boots on the ground. And that's who we are. Like, we are passionate about helping these people. We don't waste time. You know, talk is cheap. Like, we want to get out there and make it happen, make a difference.
That's great. What impact are you most proud of so far, even if it's something small that might go unnoticed on paper?
My new partnership with Akron Children's. Couldn't ask for a better partner. You know, they serve 400,000 kids a year. And I had read a book recently called The Prayer of Jabez, and it talks about, you know, praying and asking for blessings and expanding your territory. And I just wrapped it up, and that's exactly what I did. And I said, I need help finding the people that need to be helped. I need the bridge, essentially. And I kid you not, I got Akron Children's in my mind. It was like God spoke to me. So I went out on a whim, and I sent a couple people on the board an email. And I said, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. Here's what we want to do. Would you take a chance, you know, partnering with us? They responded immediately. We get on a Zoom call like this. And, you know, it was very obvious that it was meant to be, because the girl that got on the call went to my high school, actually a year younger than me. She happened to move to Akron. Pretty incredible. Was in art class with my sister, so we hit it off. Then her boss, who was on the call, used to live around Mansfield, where I live. His mother was a school teacher in Lexington, which is right down the street. And we all connected immediately. And it's just unfolded beautiful. I mean, they welcomed us with open arms. We're working on a kickoff event together where we're hopeful to have 15 to 20 kids and their families around Valentine's Day that are in palliative care. We're going to shoot for probably doing it at our RV store, because it's a large building where you can do touch a Corvette, a truck, a tractor, a motorhome, face painting, prize giveaways, and then potentially rent out one of the movie theaters locally to do like a children's movie showing. So after that, they will be giving us one child at a time to figure out what we can do for while they still, what we can do for them while they still have time. So to be able to partner with them, I think they're 13th largest in the country, and to have this go so seamless is just a blessing in itself. I mean, it's incredible.
Wow. I can't like even put that. I'm still processing everything, right? There's so much greatness and good happening, that being in these situations, I have an understanding of it. My family went through it. And being in these situations, what you're doing for the community, doing it for people that are in need, is just a level that I admire. With the holidays just finishing, what do you wish more people understood about the power of simply showing up for someone?
That's a great question. And I would relate that right into my own experiences with hospice. I would say at least 5 or 6 times I've volunteered where this person is at the end, even around holidays, I've had it happen, and they have nobody in their life. So their family's gone, or they're, you know, living across the country. Their parents aren't obviously around. They don't have kids. They don't have friends. So there are a lot of people in hospice that do pass away alone, and they don't have anyone to, you know, spend time with them. So by you showing up, you might be the only person that would show up. So I think you got to keep that in the back of your head. Like, I might be the only person that shows up for this person. So I think that makes it a no-brainer.
It's such a topic that we don't understand and we don't see, because, you know, our lives are moving at a certain speed, right? We have schedules, we have tasks that we're doing, and you don't see at moments that there is someone there alone. And when you actually get to that space where you can help somebody where they're not alone, it's magical, right?
Yep.
For that person, for yourself, because you're there in some shape, way, or form to support that person's moments.
We all kind of need a perspective check every once in a while. And, you know, we deal with a lot of problems as business owners, and some days there's some problems and some days it's nothing but problems. But yeah. You look at the parents that have a 2 or 4 year old that know that they only have 2 months left. Those are the people with real problems. So you gotta think about that sometimes to realize how, you know, blessed we are.
Yeah. The holidays can be difficult for many, right? It could be a difficult time. How does that show up in the work you do, and why is this season especially important for your mission?
Well, everybody that's lost somebody thinks about those people more during the holidays. I mean, I think that's kind of a given. And one thing we've been focused on doing that's just like a side project through the nonprofit is delivering paintings to those people of the pet they lost, or the picture, or I'm sorry, of a painting of the person that they lost. Like, I use an online company that hires professional artists, and my sister's actually an awesome artist, and she's one of our volunteers, so she plans on painting some of these kids and giving it to the parents after the child passes away.
Wow. That, thank you for everybody who's volunteering. Thank you for those special moments. Like,
it's pretty awesome. That is pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So we try to do that around the holidays though, if we can.
That's great. Brent, what's the website?
The website is https://lovesreflection.org.
Okay. For someone listening who wants to help but doesn't know where to start, what's the most meaningful way they can support Love's Reflection right now?
Well, we always could use resources. You know, we're a startup, and I've gotten some donations, but I've been self-funding most of it. So any amount of money would be very much appreciated. The nice thing about our organization is 100% of the donation goes to the cause. Nobody's getting paid. There's no salaries. It's small right now, so most nonprofits take a chunk of that. They pay people. We do not. And then, you know, we've got a solid group of volunteers, but we're going to need more because this is going to grow fast, and I just know it deep down. So there's a lot of ways you can volunteer. You don't even have to show up in person to volunteer. I mean, we have all kinds of stuff you could do from home. And we're going to hopefully be making things to put into bereavement boxes that Akron Children gives out after the child passes away, which includes items like locks of hair, handprints, heartbeat recordings. So Love's Reflection is going to add something to that box, and we'll probably need help with something like that. So there's, as this unfolds with this partnership, like, I'll have more and more ideas to share, like, with what people can do. But since this just became official a few days ago, like, I'm still figuring some things out, but there's going to be all kinds of ways to help.
I love all of that. Great. Running a nonprofit can be emotionally heavy, right? What keeps you grounded and motivated to keep going?
Well, like I said, every time I help somebody, I'm even more motivated. It's like jet fuel for me. But staying grounded, you know, I figured out the first time I volunteered how to do that because I was nervous about it. I didn't have any experience being around a person that's in the dying process, and I asked for help, basically said a prayer. And the craziest thing happened. I was able to walk through the door, and it was like this shield, like a protective shield came over me where it essentially eliminated my emotions, where I was able to be strong around the people who can't. So I do that every time, and it just works for me. That's how I stay grounded.
Running a nonprofit organization can be emotionally heavy, as we talked about.
We already did that one.
Yeah.
All right. I can say it again. No,
I was linking that to the next question, but we'll go for it. Ready?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No. I was rolling it into the next one.
No. Then go ahead. Then redo it.
All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Brent, running a nonprofit can be emotionally heavy, as we just discussed. But how does this journey change you personally as a leader, as a friend, as a human being?
Man, it's changed me in just unlimited ways. Some of the things I'm proud of as far as like the leadership, there's been people that work with us that have actually come to me, a handful of them that said, hey, you know, I know what you're doing. It's inspired me to go help these people. So what I've done has had a ripple effect at the business, you know, where I'm a leader at. And, you know, that makes me obviously very proud that whatever I'm doing is inspiring others to help people in other ways, you know, whatever that looks like for how they might be passionate about. You know, there's unlimited ways that you can help people, which is the cool thing about it. It's a ripple.
This is the part where this to me is so special. Corey, feel free to edit this, but just going into this side.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. This is the part that is extremely special to me. And this is when I seen this love's reflection. When I seen that when this question, as a leader, as a friend, as a human being, when I was asking this, I went through an event this year that was really tough, and there was a moment that Brent held. We had a conversation earlier in the year at your store, and he sent me such a special token of love, such a special token of support. And when I received it, I'm sitting there. My wife's like, "Why have you been looking at this pen for 5 minutes?" I'm like, "There's the meaning behind this pen was so special, and I carry it with me everywhere I go. These are the type of things that make this so special because you have that ability to be able to take that conversation we had and send me a message of support, and it made such a big impact. So the fact that you're doing this and you're the person in the lead of this just tells me how special this is.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I was happy to send it. And I had a nudge to send it. I say that all the time. I get these nudges to do things, and I feel like I'm always being helped by God to help other people. So it's good stuff. Yes. I'm glad.
Anytime you get a nudge to send another Silverado my way, I'll take it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm feeling something right now.
So obviously our podcast is about the auto industry. We talk about power sports, marine. Mm-hmm. You know, before we really sign off on this podcast, I mean, how great is it, you know, if we just reflect a little bit of the journey that you've come from, the stuff that you're leading with purpose and instilling that leadership, not only in yourself, but other people are watching it. If we relate that to your business, your day-to-day business that you're running at Craig Smith Chevrolet, and the tractor dealership as well, you are leading teams and people and changing their lives too. How is the business going? Let's talk about auto real quick. And how does that translate to what you're looking forward to in 2026 for your dealership?
Well, 2026, I think, is going to be a much better year. You know, we've had some challenges the last couple of years with market conditions, inventory constraints, personnel, you know, turnover. I mean, like any other business deals with from time to time. But the good thing about that is when you go through that stuff, it makes you stronger. You know, it makes you realize what you can take on. And, you know, builds confidence, of course, within yourself and other people. And this restructuring period is going to be a good thing. And we're really positive about the new people that are being brought on right now and what they're going to be able to do to inspire their departments to become better than what they have been in the past.
Brent, if there's a area of your business that you're looking to put training into, that you're looking to have a strong impact in 2026, what would be that area that you're focusing your team on to grow that impact?
Yeah, that would be your area of expertise, actually. We've got a new service manager in who's just doing a really, really fine job, and he's looking for an advisor that, you know, one that he deserves, you know, that's going to match his energy, if you will. And we're looking for a couple technicians. So I'm really excited about the new leader, John, who's the manager, and the new people he's bringing on, because it's going to be a night and day difference. Like, whenever you guys come back, you're just going to immediately feel the change when you walk in the door.
Nice. I like that a lot. Yeah. Brent, I'd be remiss not to talk about your dad. I mean, he's the one that started this many years ago. Has he really inspired you to take this other journey and look at, you know, doing this nonprofit?
Believe it or not, he recommended a series of books a long time ago. I didn't decide to read them until I was 30. They're called Conversations with God, and they're just amazing material. And 100% of the reason I started seeking and trying to learn more spiritually was because of those books. And one thing led to another, to another, to another, and it kept going on and on and on, to the point where I truly believe those books are the reasons that, you know, part of it anyways, why I got into hospice, why I started looking at people differently, myself differently, and that, you know, with a near-death experience, what I saw that day, it just launched me into this. So, yes, I think at the end of the day, you know, him essentially trying to get me to think outside the box and read things to change my perspective has helped me grow into this new version of myself.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
If you could leave our listeners with one message this holiday season about giving, compassion, or reflection, what would it be?
I have three. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
These are really good. When you help somebody, it affects three people. Most people don't realize that. The giver, the receiver, and the observer. So aim to help one person a day and watch the change. That's the first one.
That's powerful.
Yeah, I agree. The second is see everyone as family. And treat them if they were your own. If you do, the world could change overnight.
Love it. Love it.
Pretty good. And the third is, if you can't find a group with your same consciousness, create one. Be the light and the others will be drawn to you.
Wow. That's really good. Brent, go ahead, Eric.
If that's not inspiration to start your 2026, I don't know what is.
Let's go.
Right. Funny question, Brent. What does Brent do for fun?
Well, I like to travel. I like cars, power sports, you know, snowmobiling, being with the family. Love the beach. That's like my happy place is taking a walk on the beach. But I really enjoy helping people. I mean, I feel extremely fulfilled. It fills the cup, and it's what I like to do. I try to do it every single day. I mean, I truly have fun with it.
Yeah, it's not very often that Eric and I get to talk to a dealer principal on our podcast. So we really appreciate you taking the time to be a guest on this, talk about this great nonprofit, and talk a little business around the holiday season and what you're looking forward to in you know, 2026.
Brent, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can email me at bsmith@craigsmithgroup.com or call me at 419-544-3135. I can assure you I will respond very quickly.
That's great. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Brent, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a guest on this episode. I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
I will. Anytime.
Thank you. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host Eric Howdige. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.